This is way out of my comfort zone, but Randy asked me to introduce Pastor, I call him Pastor Gerald, but he's Pastor Gerald Baker. Known him for years. He was associate pastor at Trinity Friends while we were there. He counseled us through middle school, teenage years with my girls, and I've witnessed him live what he preaches, and I am so honored to introduce him to you. I know you'll learn a lot, and I'm just glad that he's here. Pastor Gerald.
When you pull up on the church lot and you see your name right on the board out there. So I knew I was at the right place, but the last time I'd been here had been 12 years since we've been here, but we've always enjoyed this fellowship very much, and we have a relationship with this church and this community, and we're very, very thankful for that connection that we have. Christy and Jamie, and we've enjoyed them over years, and I sure appreciate what you guys have been doing around here. My goodness. Bible school, you know, that wasn't something that happened. You know, I was kind of concerned. I love Bible school. That's always one of my favorite things every year I look forward to is Bible school. I was really concerned that it was going to go away because of the COVID thing and all that stuff. But I'm glad to see that you guys are promoting it. And I just know kids will be blessed. I love being around kids, and it's a great thing. So glad to be here today. Hey, let's just go to that first slide. I'm going to skip that video. Your guys' video is better than my video, so I'm just going to go with that first slide up here. We're going to talk about servanthood today. And I love talking about this. This is something that's near to my heart. You know, as Christians and as a community, we're always bombarded by all kinds of ideals and philosophies. People always have some ideas about how we should be doing things, and so we hear a lot of opinions on how to live. So we have this second slide here. Tells us a little bit about that. Go up to the next one here, guys. There he is. You know, it's about what others do not control your destiny. It's God. It's in God's hands. We've got to listen to God. We've got to pay attention to what God's got to say every day of our lives. And education says, well, be resourceful. Expand yourself. Philosophy says, be confident. Assert yourself. Humanism says, be capable. Believe in yourself. That's the one that's the hardest one for me to swallow down. Believe in yourself. Legalism says, be pious. Limit yourself. Materialism says, be satisfied, please yourself. Notice the self comes up in each one of these philosophies. It's all about me. It's all about self. You know, one day I heard a radio commercial that topped it all. It went something like this. Now is the time to do something for you. All you will be doing for the next month is buying things for others. You need to buy a diamond now for yourself. Remember, who is doing all the work? Shouldn't you buy yourself a small reward? Stop into our jewelry store today and make your selection. So who is the target of these ads? Of course, it is the ladies. And what about the timing? Just when these Christmas Club checks were going to be coming out. These advertisers surely knew their job. They selected a target, and then they put some urgency into their promotion. The ad is also a blatant example of materialism and meism. So, how should a servant live? We got to put up another slide here for me. We're going to go to Philippians 2, and you're going to see me checking out the screen, because I actually kind of use that screen for my sermon. So, go into Philippians and we're going to pick up a couple verses here in chapter 2. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Do you see that? That's a big charge. That's a big charge for us to live up to. So how do we regard others as more important than ourselves? So we look for ways to support those around us, encourage. We need to be building them up and stimulating other people to good works. There's another scripture that I want us to go to here, and it's in Romans 12. And I have some sermon notes for you there, so I hope you can kind of pick up some of these. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. I love the scriptures that talk about the one another passages are important. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And I saw something beautiful even today. By the way, hey, thank you for sponsoring a chicken dinner for us today and having car shows and fireworks. I mean, you must have knew we were coming a while back. So I really appreciate all this. This is a great thing to be a part of. I noticed a whole bunch of water bottles, and Jesus said that's important. That's important to be showing hospitality, to lifting up others. So the scripture also says, therefore, encourage one another, build one another up. Let's go to that next slide. This is a personal slide for me. Christy talked about my ministry, and one of the things that if you come into my office, I always have a little whiteboard, and I write things on for other people. I write things often on there for myself. The church is a living body and must have working parts. We're to be engaged. We're supposed to be working. We're supposed to be engaged in God's work. So how do we regard others as more important than ourselves? Well, I know one thing that we don't do. You remember the year of the great toilet paper crisis? 2020, the toilet paper epidemic. It was an epic fail from what I could see, because did you notice all the hoarding that went on? Did you see people reaching out to other people? I mean, it was like selfishness on display. I mean, you see people rolling through with the whole, had a whole cart full of toilet paper. I think, well, I've never seen that before, and I hope I never see it again. But anyway, that was an epic fail, and it just reminds you of what can happen when we take our eyes off of Christ and put our eyes on our own selfish needs. You know, I want to look at a biblical account of some people who put the needs of others before their own. It's in 2 Corinthians, this is an impactful scripture. You're going to really enjoy getting into this today. 2 Corinthians 8, chapter 8, verse number 1. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Now, just in those couple of verses, just pull out three of those words: joy, poverty. They're right there together. So what do you have when you get joy and you have poverty in the same sentence? What's the end result here? It says generosity. You weren't expecting that, were you? Generosity. It says not only did they have joy, their joy was overflowing. And not only did they have poverty, but they were at the deepest bottom of the rung in their poverty. They had extreme poverty, it says here. Overflowing joy and extreme poverty. What's the result? It welled up with rich generosity. That's how they responded to that. What a church. Verse 3, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected. They did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. Macedonia. Macedonia was an economically depressed area, but those financially deprived Macedonian believers were so concerned over their brothers and sisters in Jerusalem that they really gave. They really gave. In fact, how did it say? They richly gave. They had rich generosity. So let's look at how they gave and kind of break this down a little bit. Got another slide. This next slide. The serving is below you. Its leadership is beyond you. We got to learn how to serve. And then let's just go right up to this next slide. Talks about the prosperity. Talks about being refreshed. We can't ever outgive God, and it's a beautiful thing. First of all, they gave anonymously. Not one specific church is mentioned here. It just simply says the Macedonian churches, plural. Not one individual is highlighted. It doesn't call out somebody here. It just talks about the beauty of this whole church. A great proof of true servanthood is anonymity. Most people prefer that their names not be attached to a gift. You know, when your name's associated with something like that, sometimes the focus can be on the wrong thing. And sometimes if the focus is on the things instead of in a particularly individual, there's a disconnect that can happen. It can actually distract from the blessing that God has in mind. But it's not always appropriate that a gift remain anonymous. But generally, that's true. You know, one of the privileges that I have as being a pastor is being a middleman on occasion. And I was always blessed by that. One day I was in my office, and in this man that I knew in our church, he came in and he said, my wife and I would like to put a package together for you to be able to gift somebody from us, but I don't want them to know who it's from. But I just want to just give me an idea of who that person could be and some things that we could maybe pick up for them. So I gave him some suggestions, and him and his wife, they went shopping, and they picked up a bunch of stuff for this. It was a single mother and with a teenage son, and I was ministering with them and trying to help them along in their walk with Jesus. So this family brought these gifts for this single mom. So I was in my office one day, and I knew we had an appointment. I knew that she was going to be coming in, and she decided that day to wear a Santa hat. And sometimes I wear a Santa hat. I like wearing a Santa hat. In fact, I probably looked the part too. But anyway, I was in there with my Santa hat on, and she comes to the door and comes in, and I told her what was going to be happening. I told her about the blessing that I had been given, and that I was going to, that she was going to be blessed that day. And man, you talk about having a God moment. We had a God moment right there in that office, and we just couldn't believe the goodness of God and how He is so generous to us. You know, the times that I'm privileged to present someone with a special gift, I represent our church fellowship, and I need to tell people about that. You know, I was involved there again in pastoring a church called Logansville Community Church over by Bell Fountain, and our particular area was in DeGraff, Ohio, and is Riverside High School. The Riverside Pirates, isn't that a cool name? And they did something really cool. Every year, the teachers of that community, of that high school, Riverside High School, they would have a room set aside. And all during the year, they would be collecting items for needy families. all year long, they'd be storing those up. And then when it came time, just before Christmas, they would come together and they start putting them into individual boxes. And then they would invite the pastors of the community to come in. And they would give us the privilege of going out into that community. And wow, I could tell you story after story about what that was like, if you can imagine. And what a blessing. They did that every year. And it was a cool thing. And how do you beat that for a community thing? I mean, really engaging in their community. Well, these Macedonians, they gave generously. When they gave, that generosity overflowed in the process in their own lives. Their own lives overflowed, and that's what happens. When you get engaged and get involved, it just overflows. So they liberally and sacrificially gave beyond their ability. Another thing that happens with leadership is this next slide. I need to get out here a little bit because I need to read this. Your gifts are not about you. Leadership is not about you. Your purpose is not about you. A life of significance is about serving those who need your gifts, your leadership, your purpose. Jesus needs you involved in what he's doing. 1 Peter 5 says, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be." You have your Bibles open here, and so I want you to just look over into 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. It says this, "Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Can you say that with me? God loves a cheerful giver. He really does. He wants us to be involved and engaged in that. Servanthood also needs to be personalized. Personal involvement is essential, and it usually involves adapting our ways and schedules to fit into others' needs. Personal involvement certainly reveals the authenticity of our words. Servanthood seldom comes with an invitation. We must sense need without being told. Do I have another slide in there, guys? Or is the next one going to come up with a video? Video. All right, I'm going to show a little video clip. We're going to get you that one. Let's go ahead and put that up.
เขาจะได้อะไรถ้าเขาทำแบบนี้ทุกวันเขาจะไม่ได้อะไรเลยไม่ได้รวยขึ้นไม่ได้ออกทีวีไม่มีใครรู้จักไม่ได้มีชื่อเสียงที่มากขึ้นเพราะสิ่งที่เขาได้ ือได้แค่ความรู้สึกได้เห็นความสุขได้เข้าใจได้ความรักได้ในสิ่งที่เงินซื้อไม่ได้ได้โลกที่สวยงามกว่าเดิมในชีวิตคุณอะไรคือสิ่งที่คุณต้องการมากที่สุด
ไทยประกันชีวิตเชื่อในความดี
Let's go right into the next slide. So how much does giving cost? How much does it cost giving give us cost us personally? I read a story about a first grader named Billy, whose classmate Jim lost his father in a tractor accident. We would know about this kind of thing. I've known some of this stuff in real time being around Ohio City. Well, Billy prayed for Jim every day. One day as Billy was walking down the stairs at school, he saw Jim and decided to reach out to him personally. How are you getting along? Oh, fine, just fine. Billy continued, do you know I've been praying for you ever since your daddy died? The other little boy stopped and looked at Billy, grabbed his hand, and let him out back behind the school building. And then Jim opened up. You know, that was a lie. When I said things are going fine, they aren't fine. We were having trouble with the cows and with the machines. My mother doesn't know what to do. But I didn't know that you were praying for me. You know, we never know how many people are hurting unless you personally reach out to them. Words come easy, but being a person who genuinely and personally gives to others is a person who pleases God. In 1980, whenever I say something like that, my youngest grandson, Nolan, he says, you mean that happened way back in the 1900s? Kids have a way of keeping us honest, don't they? Valerie and I came to Calvary Evangelical Church in 1980. And one of the people that we met was Cliff Bell and his wife, Catherine. Cliff Bell was our Sunday school teacher, adult Sunday school teacher. And we were young. We had young kids. Our daughter Michelle and our son Craig came to church with us. And we had a lot to learn and a lot to overcome. But I met Cliff and Catherine, and I started to understand what giving meant. They were really givers. They just were willing to pour themselves into my life and into my family's life. Because I don't know if our family would have survived if it hadn't been for some people like him that were involved in our lives. So he started modeling things. He started discipling us, and he started getting involved. And we came in there, and by the time of after being at Calvary Evangelical for 15 years, we entered into pastoral ministry. We served in pastoral ministry for 24 years. And we also spent 10 years just getting ready for that. There was a lot of preparation and a lot of conversations with people like Cliff, and he encouraged us to come along. And I just want to say that, you know, this has been a journey. I've now retired 2 years. I'm not real good at doing retired. I'm finding out, but I need to learn how to do that a little better. But this journey has been amazing. I tell people I've seen the best in people. I've also seen the worst in people. But I see my God in all people, and God's always there. He is so faithful. He's such an amazing, amazing God. It's worth the cost that it takes to serve. There's a scripture that I have to share. It's in Luke 9. I don't know why I said 2. Luke 9, verse 23. Now he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? The cross. I don't know if you've ever visited Calvary Evangelical Church, but as many churches, there's a cross. In fact, there are three crosses up on the front of Calvary Church that Cliff Bell made himself and blessed the church with. He was that kind of guy. He was a giver. And that cross just expresses that in amazing ways. You know, following Christ as his disciple, it is a costly thing. It's an unselfish decision we have to make. It calls for a radical examination of our self-centered lifestyles. It's a tough assignment. There's another slide that I want you to see. This is Valerie and I's family slide. We've family verse. We've adopted this, and we keep that. We treasure this. As for me in my house, we will serve the Lord, and we do. And I know many of you do also. It's the best way to live. It's the only way to live. It's a precious way to live. To follow Christ is to deny self daily. It is absolutely and positively, and I'm not going to sugarcoat anything, it's an uphill battle. And you'll battle it every day. I still battle it every day, even at my age. I'll be 70 next month. See, that's what happens. You lose everything. It's an uphill battle. But you can have victory over self in the name of Jesus. When we step out for Christ, when we step out to Christ in service for Him, we have to battle our very senses. Our bodies scream for attention, and we want it now. Society only reinforces the need to satisfy self. But true servanthood can only be accomplished through serious prayer and the filling of God's Holy Spirit. The Macedonians, they gave themselves first to the Lord. The Apostle Paul is telling the Corinthians that they must first examine themselves. Let's go down into a little bit more of this scripture. In verse 8 of 2 Corinthians, verse number 7, but just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. If you genuinely love Jesus and you have prayerfully considered the cost of servanthood, you will be keeping with God's will. The Corinthians, they abounded in vision, spiritual gifts, knowledge, zeal, and even love. Paul then says to abound in generosity too. Be givers. God promises in Proverbs 2, a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. So let's believe God. Let's release instead of keep. Let's give instead of grab. This is our last slide. You can never, never, ever outgive God. And I know there are times in God's service when you get tired in spirit. You say, Pastor, I am a giver, but I am just tired. Well, take time to refresh your spirit. Take a brief rest. Ask God for renewed strength for the work. Then just get back in there and do what you know is right. Shortly after World War II, it was coming to a close, and Europe began picking up the pieces. Perhaps the saddest sight of all was that of little orphan children starving in the streets of those worn, torn cities. Early one chilly morning, a soldier was making his way back to his barracks. He spotted a little boy with his nose pressed to the window of a pastry shop. The soldier pulled up his jeep to the curb. He stopped, he got out, and he walked quietly over to where the little boy was standing. The boy released a sigh as he watched the baker place fresh donuts carefully outside the glass counter. Can you smell them? The soldier's heart went out to that nameless orphan. Son, would you like some of those? The boy was startled. Oh yeah, I would. The soldier stepped inside and he bought a dozen. He walked back to where the boy was standing. He held out the bag, smiling, and simply just said, there you are. And as he turned to walk away, he felt a tug on his coat. The boy asked softly, Mister, are you God? We are never more like God than when we give. For God so loved the world that He gave. Let's pray. Father, generous Father, holy Father, Father of all nations, Father of all creation, we praise you for showing us the way. Father, we thank you and praise you for being the truth. And Father, we thank you for showing us the way to treat others, the way to minister to others, the way to deal with others. And Father, help us this day to be your people, to be your servants, and to bless you and to bless those around us. Pray this thing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.